Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Love one another deeply. In this series, we've been trying to figure out what it looks like to be, really, to be a New Testament church. A church that's filled with love. What does love look like? And how do we walk that out with one another? And one of the subjects that I couldn't gloss over as we're talking about the subject of loving one another deeply is the fact that we've been called the body of Christ and that we're called that together. We just got done with a few sessions talking about unity, and this is kind of a very easy bridge from our unity sessions back into the rest of the meat of what we're going to be covering in this series. And my hope this morning is that we would look at the body of Christ and that we would find out this, what does that mean? What does that term mean, that we're part of the body of Christ? And what do we do with it? See, if we're not careful, we read Bible verses and we don't actually think about what's being said. We just kind of read the words. But when we read the term, and we're going to see it's not thrown in there once or twice. This is a regular part of our New Testament teachings from the apostles. When we read this term, we are part of the body of Christ. Each one of us, that has to mean something. It's not just different ways to say you're saved, a different way to say you're a Christian. You're a Christian. You're part of the body of Christ. It means something completely different. It means something. And we need to figure out what it means. So this morning, let's look at some of the verses here. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and also Ephesians 5. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Ephesians 4, we are all members of one body. Ephesians 5, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does his church, for we are all members of his body. We're all members. This is a interesting concept, if it's not one that you've been thinking about before, because it's an undeniable statement three times over, just in those three verses, there are others as well. Undeniable statement. We are all part of this. It's not like there's some Christians that are part of the body of Christ and other Christians that aren't. Like a choice gets to be made or something. We're all part of the body. And the body of who? The body of Jesus. We are belonging to Jesus. Look at this. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. We're one unit with many parts. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We're all part of this body. There's many parts to it. And then look at this line, this statement in 1 Corinthians 12, 12, and then I'll touch on another piece of it in Romans 12, 5. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. In Christ, though many, form one body, and here's the kicker, and each member belongs to all the others. I don't know that we think that way too often. I mean, I almost think we would get looks. It'd probably be easier to say, I belong to you than you belong to me. But that each member of the body, but doesn't that make sense? If it's one body, how could that, I mean, of course, my finger belongs to the rest of me. And of course, my eyes and my shoulder, it's all one body, but it's all one body that's got different functions. But the parts belong to each other. That is a very interesting idea to a very self-focused, individualistic society, that we belong to one another. And Paul, he really talks about this a lot. He says, just as one body, though it's one, that one body has many parts, and all the parts form the body. This is how it is with Christ. And each member belongs to all the others. I think we need to start asking ourselves the question, how does that apply? What does it look like for me to belong to you and you to belong to me? Not everybody belongs to the pastor because he's the leader. That Christ is the head. So it's not that. It's that we belong to each other. I belong to you as part of the body. And you belong to each other and you belong to me. That is just a very foreign idea to us. But think about that, how that plays in with the subject of love. Because Paul just got done saying, what verse was it that he said? He said, yeah, after all, no one ever hated their own body. But they feed and they care for their body. Well, if I think about you belonging to me and you being part of my body and I'm part of your body, it's unthinkable that I would do you harm. You're me. Why would I want me to be worse off? Because we're all part of one body. We belong to each other. So this subject actually is dynamically connected to the subject of love. Because if we have this revelation that we belong to one another, it would be unthinkable that we would cause our own self harm. And this is the message. We are the body of Christ. Each one of us is part of it. And we are one and we belong to one another. And it is unthinkable that we would harm one another. And any time that what would be perceived as harm occurs, it's actually for the good of that part and the good of the body. I mean, just think about, I don't know, my brain isn't thinking real well right now. I was just thinking about putting socks and shoes on and how mad my feet are to not be able to express themselves. But I'm putting socks and shoes on actually so that my whole body can get around. It seems like I'm cramping my feet style, but I'm actually doing this in order for the whole body and to protect my feet. There are times in the body where we've got to reprove one another, where we've got to have, you know, things that we're helping, but it's actually for the sake of the body. It's for the sake of love. And that's the rub. That's the journey. It's unthinkable that we would hurt one another, but that we would love one another. I mean, Paul talks about this like it's fact, not like it's just a cool analogy. He calls us the body of Christ. He doesn't say we're like a body. He says you are the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head, and we are all parts of his body, and we serve him together. This is profound. All right, well, let's look at some of the more details here that we've got in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll read 12 through 21, little chunk here. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is in Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The foot should not say, because I am not the hand, I don't belong to the body. If it did, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it also would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, gross. Where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, weird. Where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 12:13. We were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. You were saved to be part of this body, the body of Christ. You were saved for this purpose. You were saved so as to form one body. Man, I just think about that. It's like, nobody told me that when I prayed the prayer. Like, I may feel a little cultish, you know? I'm becoming part of a body? That's Frankenstein-ish, kind of gross. Like, well, like it or lump it, you are now part of the body of Christ. It is a fact. It is inalterable. Parts that think that they don't belong. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. In my experience, and this is limited, but and there might be other reasons for this, but in my experience, people say I'm not part of the body for two reasons, shame and pride. Here's how it fleshes out. The shame is I feel so less than, therefore my part isn't important, therefore I am not going to be part of the body. The other is true as well. I feel so elite and better than the rest of these Christians that I don't feel like I need to be part of the body. It's shame and pride. And in either case, and come up with five more reasons why people would have a reason to not be part of the body, to not act as part of the body. See, because here's the thing. Every one of us is part of the body, whether we're connected to it or not. If we're connected to it, we're in right function or at least moving in that direction. If we're not connected to it, it really is grotesque. It is a gross scenario. It is a finger on a table just sitting there. That's disgusting. And that's actually what happens when a member of the body of Christ chooses to not act like one. That's gross. And it's inappropriate, and it's highly dysfunctional for everybody. That finger can't get anything done by itself. And there's a hand out there that's feeling pretty limited. The variety of function, he made us different. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You know, you have a part in the body, and it's designed. It's on purpose. You're not an accident. You're like, well, I don't really even know what my part is. Well, let us help you figure that out. Let's work together to figure that out. I mean, I could just imagine, you know, on the face, it's like you got two eyes, you got a nose, and then this ear shows up. Like, what is that? We've never seen one of those before. And the ear's like, hey, guys. And he doesn't know what he is. They kind of got to work together to figure it out. Well, that's okay. Let's work together to figure it out. But each part, and you're different on purpose. It's inappropriate. It's not like sinful necessarily, but it's out of place to be like, I wish I was like them. Or a real part of the body of Christ looks like that girl. It's like, no, that girl looks like that girl. And you look like you on purpose. With purpose, from God. He made us different on purpose. We're not supposed to look the same, talk the same, feel the same in every area. Like, that's not, your gifts are different. Your bend is different in just the way that you do life and think. That God made you that way. And each part of us is different. Some of us are better at this kind of stuff, and some of us are better at this kind of stuff. God's like, I did that on purpose because if all of you were uniform minions and were all just like great at these six things, that would mean you're horrible at these 90 things and you wouldn't be able to get very far. He says, I made you different on purpose. Look at this. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, you. He's placed you. just as he wanted them to be. Not accidental, not too much, not too little. He placed everyone in the body just as he wanted them to be. And we need each other. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We need all the members of the body of Christ. Need. And we belong to each other. Just think about how this looks and means in the way that we treat each other and the way that we think of one another. Like, so you're a hairy knuckle. Cool. Welcome to the body. Thank you for being that hairy knuckle. We needed you. We didn't even know we needed you. It's like, whatever part you are, we need you, and God made you the way that he made you. And we're going to look at this a little bit more in a minute, but the wisdom of God to even form congregations. Either during worship or sometime recently, this morning, today, I don't know. Sometime in my life, I had this revelation that I was thinking about the challenges of trying to contextualize Christianity in 2024 in America because of how different things looked in the first century church. You got the Church of Corinth, and then however many hundreds of miles over or whatever, you've got the Church of Ephesus, and then however many hundred miles over, you got, you know, the Church of, you know, Thessalonica. And here was the thought process. It was during the prayer time when we were praying for the Neelys. That's when it hit me. In our prayer time, as we were praying, I was just thinking, this is a little piece of what it looked like. What if geography wasn't the primary separation point? What if it was just life? And here we are as a congregation, hearing about the needs of another congregation, and we're interceding for them, and we're caring for them. That's, you know, part of the way that we can kind of process how things look and flesh out. But the reason I was going down that tangent is in talking about how we need each other and how the contextualization of the first century church to us is there's the way that the Lord's wisdom has operated is in his kindness. There are so many Christians in this city that there's not just one church, one congregation. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't function. It'd be too overloaded. So the gospel has reached our region in such a way that there are multiple congregations. And each one of those congregations is supposed to function like Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. You know, when he was writing to Corinth, the Corinthians weren't confused like, well, we're here in Corinth. How do we be the body to the church over in Jerusalem? That wasn't their primary thought process. They were hearing this message and going, we, the church at Corinth, are supposed to be a body. God brought every person into this congregation on purpose and with purpose. So let's figure out how to function and flow as a body. And then let's figure out how to relate to the other congregations of the saints. So in one sense, it's no different. It's just there's a lot more congregations of the saints. But it doesn't need to be confusing. We at Forerunner Fellowship need to figure out how to operate as a body with purpose from the Lord and take these same Bible verses and internalize them and go, every person that's a part of this church is here on purpose so that we can function as a body and we can accomplish certain things together for the Lord. All right, well, one of the details that Paul hits pretty heavy, and I'm grateful that he did, this is something that really struck me early in my walk, and that is the need to show honor to one another. 1 Corinthians 12, we're now in the latter part of the chapter, 22 through 26. Those parts of the body that seem to be weaker, so Paul recognizes that there are parts of the body that seem to be weaker. He says, that's okay. He says, those that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part rejoices with it. Let's break this down a little bit. God calls us to honor the parts that lack it. This is how we treat each other. Those that might be deemed less, this or that, we actually go out of our way to honor in a greater way. This is how the Lord wants us. Let's get down to the currency of the kingdom. It's humility. The way the kingdom of God operates is by humility. So now, the one that seems weaker, okay, because that's how Paul said it, or that we might deem less this or that, or our culture would say they're not as dot, 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 okay? That person is in a humble circumstance, and if they don't operate in pride, they will get currency in the kingdom by operating in humility in their humble circumstance. Let's pretend you're in a situation where you've got a little bit more, whatever the more is. Whether it's in the natural, or it's in your giftings, or it's in, you know, your circumstances, whatever, you've got a little bit more. You're actually in a point you're in a bad spot. As opposed to the guy that's in a point of humility, you're in a situation where you actually have strength that now requires you to humble yourself. And you have to humble yourself, as opposed to you're already in humble circumstances, just don't fight it. You have to humble yourself. One of the ways that the Lord says, the ways that you can humble yourself, honor the parts that lack it. That's part of the way that you can operate in the currency of the kingdom is by honoring the parts of the body of Christ that lack it. I remember when I first came into the kingdom, and part of it was the context I was in was a zoo called youth ministry. And the context of youth ministry is often dog eat dog. And it is the teenagers and, you know, kids just biting at each other, picking on one another, leaving people out, not showing love and concern, cliques and the like. And I just remember coming into the kingdom and into youth ministry at the same time and going, not on my watch. That is not how we're going to do this, because there were verses that were plaguing me from the book of Proverbs about not showing partiality. And I just was like, no, we are going to treat everybody the same. We're going to figure out how to love people, and we're going to show honor. And what's been fun about that is our community over the years has been a safe haven for some really interesting people. And it's been awesome. It has been great. It's been gold, and they've become dear to us. Because the Lord says, treat the parts that lack it with special honor. That's godly. That's kingdom. That's the way that the body of Christ is supposed to operate. And so we want to do that. All right, what else I got here? There's more verses. We're to be concerned for one another. Look at this. Its parts should show equal concern for each other. And I put in one of those verses from Proverbs 28:21. To show partiality is not good. Look at this. In our self-focused culture, this is really challenging all of our American thought processes, because it says that we're supposed to show equal concern for each other. So here's the first challenge. Challenge number one, we're supposed to be concerned about the well-being of other people, not just our own well-being. We're supposed to be concerned for the well-being of those that are in the body with us. We're supposed to be concerned. But then it says, more than to be concerned, we're supposed to have equal concern. Now, that's a real challenge, because there are some people that you like and some people that you don't like. And you're supposed to show equal concern for the one that you don't like, the one that you have a disagreement with, the one that you've got some beef with for whatever reason. You're supposed to show equal concern. And again, Proverbs, to show partiality is not good. This is a challenge to treat one another with esteem, to actually esteem those that lack esteem, to love and to show help and affection. And This is challenging to show equal concern. That is a really challenging idea. And it's one that I want us to be rattled by a little bit, to show equal concern. Just think about that. Think about the preference that we show in our heart. Get down to it. It's like part of the reason I go around hugging everybody is because it is not good to show partiality. I mean, that's part of it. Like, we are equal. We are all part of this. And the Lord wants to, like, stretch us in that. And he wants, through the teachings here that we're looking at, these verses, to stress this point. Then he says in verse 26, so 1 Corinthians 12:26, if one part suffers, actually, every part suffers with it. And if one part's honored, actually, every part rejoices with it. That's what's supposed to be happening. I just had a couple of thoughts on that, because this is something that I care about. I don't know that I do it well, but I'm concerned about it. Real emotional investment, good or bad. Real emotional investment. Because when something happens to you, good or bad, there's real emotional investment, right? If it happens to you, you feel something. If it's a good thing, you probably feel good things. A bad thing, you probably feel bad things. We're supposed to have real emotional investment when something good or something bad happens to somebody else in our body. That's supposed to be what's happening. So we share the grief and we share the victories. I'm on a journey. It's something I care about. I want to try to really feel their excitement about the cool thing that happened to them. They're excited. This thing happened. It's so good. I want to get there with them. I don't want to just hear it and go, man, that's cool. Moving on back to me, back to my life, back to the things that I care about and think about all day. No, I want to go there. I want to feel it. I want to ask questions so that my heart can engage. I want to try to get there and feel something so that I can feel that and go, that is cool. Like, I want to get there. See, but that's not my personality. That's Bible verses rubbing up against me saying, are you feeling equal concern? Are you rejoicing with them as they rejoice? Are you mourning with them as they grieve? Similarly, when bad things happen, it's harder to do this for some of us, but I want to get there. I want to hear the pain, and I want to try to share in the grief. I mean, isn't that what it says? If one part suffers, suffering is a bad word. That is a hard word. If one part is suffering, I want to actually try to figure out how I can be feeling bad too. How I can suffer with that one that's suffering. This is part of the reason that Job's associates were of no help to him. They were not suffering with him in his sufferings. They were just assessing them and judging them and whatevering. But the word says, suffer with the one that's suffering. Like, feel it, reach in. Again, for me, I'm like, it's probably going to require me asking some questions because I don't understand it well enough to suffer. I just kind of hear it. How is that hitting you? What pain is that causing you? How are you? In part because I care about them. I mean, for real. And I want them to be able to voice. But also in part, I want to be able to enter into that with you. And I can't if it's still just surface. Oh, bad day? Yeah, okay, cool. Back to me again. See, we're supposed to suffer with those that suffer. And we're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice. Because that's what your own body would do. If your hand is hurt, you kind of got that little limp on it, little weakness, operating with a handicap. And your whole body is aware of it because you got to do things with the other hand that normally you do with that hand. Your body is suffering with the suffering part of your body. That's what's supposed to be happening, as well as the rejoicing. Now, here's the part I want to get to as we kind of wrap up here for today. We've been assigned together. This is the part I want us to get. If you're new around here or old around here, at least for right now, you're here. And I believe that God has you as part of this church on purpose, because that's what the word says. You're not here on accident. So your part matters. It matters for you that you do your part. It matters to me that you do your part. That we together are a church. That we together are a body. Being in unity. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:25, right in the middle of all this passage that we just read. There should be no division in the body. This is, I believe, like such an essential thing that the Lord is speaking to us. There should not be any division. When division starts, it's like, we got to deal with that. We got to squelch that thing. There should be no division in the body. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. You were called. It's one body. It's unthinkable that part of the body would be like punching itself in the face. You know, it's like, quit that. It's like, okay, it's comforting. I mean, it's crazy that one part of the body would be in just total discord. We've been called, as the body, we've been called to peace. We've been called to each other. We belong to each other. We've been called to peace. We've been called to rejoice with one another. We've been called to suffer with one another. And God put this body together. This one, Foreigner Fellowship, its current expression, whoever's here, you know, whatever our church looks like in this hour. 1 Corinthians 12:25, God has put the body together. Again, just contextualize it. Go back in time and go, okay, the Corinthians are reading this, and they're hearing this, and the only way they can perceive what Paul's saying, the only lens that they can hear it is, he's talking about us 80 people. Paul's writing from another place, and he's talking to us 80 people that we're supposed to do something, or whatever the size of Corinth was, I don't even know. He's talking to us. Like, we're supposed to be doing this thing that he said. We're supposed to be the body. It's the only way that we can hear it. There might be bigger expression points. I'm not even negating that. But the very start of this, and the primary point of this, is we, Foreigner Fellowship, are a community of believers. There's 100 whatever people that are part of this church. This is us. Like, we are the body. And God has put it together. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And the parts must work together. The intention of Paul's instructions about how we are to operate as congregations in unity, in agreement, and heading in the same direction. As a church, we're to work together towards the same goals and heartbeat. When a body, just think of one individual, is walking this direction, the whole body's walking that direction. When the body sits down to eat, every part of that body has to kind of like participate in the eating. You know, I mean, the legs can't just go off and run a marathon right now. It's like, no, we're sitting at the table, dude. Just chill out. We're eating. The body moves together. It goes together. It operates together. And must work together. And it's good. We have purpose and destiny together here at Foreigner Fellowship. And we don't talk about this very often, but there's things that the Lord's put in our heart about the future and about what the Lord's going to do for our church. And it's part of all of our future, all of our destiny. I do the best, just so you know, I'm doing the best that I can to pick sermon series that I think are important to what God wants to do in us in a season of time. I really am thinking more seasonal than I am a one-off message. I could do one-off messages. I know how to do that. I did that for years. I think it's better for us as a congregation. I don't mean every church. I mean our church. I think it's better for us that we pick a subject and we stay focused on it for a while. And then the hope then is that we as a body are actually grabbing hold of those principles and going deeper and trying to do those things. There's things that the Lord's given us as corporate purpose, like our whole connection to the prayer room, and we want everybody doing prayer meetings. Guys, it is a strange thing to be a part of a body and go in a different direction that body's going. And I'm telling you right now, the Lord gave us clear enough marching orders. We're supposed to call everybody in our church to do prayer meetings. So if you're like, well, I don't really like prayer meetings, that's weird. Like prayer meetings. Pray that God will help you like prayer meetings. Because that's what we're doing. I mean, that's the way our church is going. Like, it's not negotiable. And it's not new. We've been doing it for 18 years. I mean, it's been a long time. I want you, here, worship team, you can come on up. I want you in this, you know, maybe part as a response today or in this week, start asking God to help you care about and carry the corporate purposes of this church. I just think that's probably not a prayer that too many of us have prayed. I mean, that is a pretty specific prayer that you would kind of almost need a sermon like this to provoke that prayer, right? But I think it's a good prayer for us to start praying. Lord, help me to care about the corporate purposes for Foreigner Fellowship. And then help me to carry them. Not just care about them, but then do something with them. Like, help me to be a functioning member of this body going the way this body is going. Like, doing what this body's doing. Help me, God. Help me to be part of that and to know what that is. And in the midst of all that we would love each other deeply and to carry one another's concerns. So again, my charge to us as we kind of, you know, are transitioning is to start asking the Lord to help you to care about his corporate purposes for this church and then to carry him.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.